They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Sue Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights.
On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. This is On the Commons, and I am Sue Bartholomew. Joining me today, and back by popular demand, I have my old friend, Wes Rocky. Wes is on the phone with us this time because he said what he would never do and he went away. He's in sunny Florida. And he's going to tell us a little bit more about what's going on in his life. We're going to talk about stress, the effects of stress, and how to handle that. And, of course, HOAs are central to what we talk about, right?
Yes. Sure. Thank you so much for this opportunity to speak with you again, to connect with your audience. This opportunity to reconnect with you is particularly precious as I moved away and I actually live in one of the biggest active retirement community in Florida. And I so much treasure talking with you because it's like having a therapy session because you have this beautiful gift of the practical wisdom of this healing voice and capacity to go to the root of the problems, mercilessly dissect, to go to the truth and to find the remedy. This is so beautiful.
Well, you can't mercifully dissect this. I mean, there's nothing merciful about an HOA, so you have to go after it. You just have to deal with it. But the thing is, you know, Wes, you've been on before, and you've heard some of my speeches on HOAs and some of the atrocities that go on, and you joined us on the show, and I rebroadcast that show not too long ago, and I got a lot of very positive feedback. People said, we need to hear more of this. We need to know how to deal with this. We need to know how to protect ourselves. So when I contacted you, you very graciously said, I would love to come on the show and be with you. So here you are. How do we protect ourselves?
Yeah, this time I would like to bring a little bit new view of the topic.
Okay.
As you know, I am practicing, I am teaching self-healing care. And actually, I'm completing a book on that topic and will be starting practice in this community based on teaching people how to take care of themselves in such a way that they are aligned with this fantastic machinery of our mind and our body to be able to take advantage of these resources, accumulated wisdom through millions of years of evolution, to make sure that all these precious gifts and resources are not collapsing in the moment we are facing unreasonable attack from HOA. That is my goal. And today, I would like to bring focus to what is our part when we get in conflict with the authorities, unreasonable authorities, self-made authorities, like HOA. So first, let me kind of recap. As I listening to your programs, I feel that what you do, first, you offer a fresh view to listeners when they face HOA problem in the situation where they don't know, when there is something obvious which is not apparent to them. You offer a new information where they don't have. Then the other aspect, which I get listening to your programs, is that it empowers me to connect with my own resources. In other words, in that case, you are not offering any more information, but you are ushering, you are guiding me to my own answers. Then there is a situation like you described in our last interview of somebody being claimed to own $10,000 with no explanation and with the possibility of taking the house, selling on $10,000, and one being left in the cold with all this responsibility of mortgage and broken life. In that situation, as we actually discussed, there was no obvious advice because situation was so heavy, so terrible, so frightening that the best we could do is just offer compassion. Compassion means to be with somebody in one's passion, in one's struggle. It doesn't mean to have pity, doesn't need to offer the advice, but be available. And that availability of additional resources is something which makes miracles. Suddenly, we are coming back to our senses. Suddenly, we are open to much more resources. And suddenly, we are capable to deal with the situation. Then another aspect of your programs is offering prevention. As we listen to other people's stories, we, in essence, prepare ourselves by putting focus on areas which are potential troubles and be more resourceful when something shows up. So in the spirit of your gifts, I would like to expand going back to the topic of our previous conversation, namely stress, because this is the automatic response when we are dealing with something unreasonable with HOA, right?
Right, right.
So first, just let's make sure that we'll be using proper vocabulary, that stress consists of two components. First is so-called stressor, which is the situation. And practically, we have very little control over situation because life just happens.
Okay.
Like Buddha stated that life consists of 10,000 joys and 10,000 sorrows, that it just happens. And it is the chronic stress which is actually thing which kills us, which limits our capacity. And as we discussed previously, it puts us out of balance, like the sumo fighters, whose goal is to turn the opponent out of balance. And as we have very little control over the stressor, we can have realization of significant control over our reactions. Remember, we referred to Dr. Viktor Frankl,
right,
which is my medical role model, a Viennese psychiatrist,
right,
who survived 3 years in concentration camp. And then he wrote this monumental book, Men in Search of Meaning, and that he started actually new charter of psychiatry. He stated that forces beyond your control can take away everything you possess,
mm-hmm,
except one thing: your freedom to choose how you will respond to the situation. The freedom you choose how to respond to the situation.
I think that's very good. Because my question to you was going to be, how do you deal with it when someone's coming at you out of the clear blue? You just were not expecting it, and that's typically what happens. And how do you react? I think most people just have a total meltdown, and they go on the attack, and that just exasperates the problem.
Yeah, actually, you know, this is the very reaction which the opponent, in this case HOA, intends to inflict. Because the same Dr. Frankl,
yeah,
has another quote, which he says, an abnormal reaction to an abnormal situation is a normal behavior. So if they go crazy, unreasonable on you, and you become crazy and unreasonable, this is normal reaction, even though it's completely abnormal, but this is what is to be expected. This is how we are wired, you know?
Interesting.
We have this so-called mirror neurons. Neurons are just like electric cables which wire our brain and wire our nervous system. And so these are the neurons. These are the electric cable. And we have so-called mirror neurons. In other words, when somebody is crying in our presence, we tend to be sad, or even we'll be crying. Laughing, there will be uncontrollable laughter just because somebody is laughing.
Yeah.
So this is the powerful tool. Now, actually, we see this so clearly used by the politicians, that they become so unreasonable, practically so crazy in what they say, what they behave, that it is intentional. It is to disempower us to become as crazy as they are, except only them know that this is strategy.
So how many of these politicians have been trained to handle this, or is it just something that they instinctively know? Is it something you have to, mm-hmm, learn, or is it something that's more or less instinctive?
Yes and yes.
Okay.
In terms of career politician, this is one of the basic training they have for the career. It's based on so-called neuro-linguistic programming, that the words are the most effective tool in they impacting the population, both in good terms and negative terms. So indeed, this is well established, very powerful knowledge and training. And yes, it is spontaneous whenever we are acting from the group. For example, we can say that people who belong to gangs commit outrageous acts not only because they are individually bad people, but they act as a group. You know, the same comes to the police force, which may use two extra strength, unjustifiable strength, beating people up. But usually this happens not when there is one person doing this, but there is a group. So in that case, that is spontaneous. And obviously, politicians are always surrounded by the group of their own supporters. I love a statement which is attributed to the actor Johnny Depp, which says, the crazy people are crazy because they don't know they are crazy. But I know that I'm crazy. Isn't it crazy?
Yeah.
So you know, the awareness of being crazy on purpose as a way of manipulating evokes the same craziness in the opponent, except the opponent doesn't know that manipulation.
Okay. All right.
Does it make sense?
It does make sense, yeah. It really does. But, you know, it's something that's not instinctive. It's something you have to think about. And when you put it that way and you think about it, it makes perfectly good sense.
Yes, the way you prepare yourself to that is kind of, again, self-healing. Self-healing is aligning with your own power. But it starts with a realization of your own power. And the realization of one's own power paradoxically starts with the investigation and realization of own weaknesses. Do you see this beautiful paradox?
Yeah.
That in order to be powerful, you have to explore your weaknesses. As the clinical psychologist would say, we cannot change anything we don't own.
And so your weaknesses, what you're saying, Wes, is that you own your weaknesses, and if you're going to change it, you're going to have to own it.
Yes, you have to own it without running away, without resistance, without liking or without disliking. You know, one important catch is to not be dissuaded by this new age, you know, psychobabble language that I discover one of my weakness, and rather than be present with that, I run away from that by saying, oh, well, I'm supposed to have it because there is an important lesson for me, so it's for my good, whatever. This may be real, but most of the time is cover up, running away, disowning, and actually not using that opportunity. So let me give you an example on my own very recent event.
Okay.
How important was exploration of my own contribution to the conflict, which I didn't notice initially. I am in this new retirement community, very active, and I obviously assigned to the fitness club. And I went there. I was very excited. Beautiful clubs, actually one of many clubs here. And you have this bunch of old people, including me, doing machines, you know, very enthusiastic. And it was beautiful environment until I noticed that people are using this disinfecting wipes, which you see commonly in the supermarkets, or actually now everywhere.
Yeah.
The disinfecting wipes, which have plenty of chemicals, some of them declared as known carcinogens, which people learn to use it for everything, based on this gem of hopes, the neurosis of expecting something which didn't happen, and actually creating that very thing we're trying to protect ourselves, we are using this disinfecting wipes. So obviously I resisted to it. I know that that is first not good for environment. Actually, it's very dangerous for environment because this is one of the contributors to anticipated failure of modern medicine. It is anticipated that, as they say in medicine, by 2050, most of the surgeries, no matter how scientific, how technologically advanced are, it will be completely useless because people will be dying of hospital infections.
Yeah. Yeah.
And propagating this neurosis of disinfecting everything in the environment, creating drug-resistant bacteria, and impairing our own immunity is one of the dangerous paths leading to that gruesome outcome, which is actually real, which is coming. So obviously I say no, there's no way I can use it. And then I was approached by two clerks who are in charge of it, who told me, no, that I have to use it because people watched me, the other participants, and they reported that I have not been using the wipes.
How like an HOA.
And, you know, and it was very important that one of the clerks approached me and said, look, be reasonable. They are old folks, and they complain about everything, and they complain about you. Just do something. And if that will be the end, likely the conflict will stop at that moment. Probably I said, well, it is big deal, but it's not a big deal. I will not change it. I'm going to carry this stupid wipe and just pretend that I'm doing this. But he went further. He got very angry and said, so I have to follow you up now and clean after you. And the other guy actually stopped in the middle of my explanation, was very disrespectful. Why I'm saying that is to bring the attention that indeed there is a truth, there is a truthful action, but there are confounding variable which makes an action which could be logical and effective into actually crazy battle, because I flew, you know, on my emotion, pointing out to them that they have instruction on the wall next to them saying that using these wipes is optional. And then I called management and I demanded that this would be immediately changed, because it's not only illogical, but it's actually unfair to the users. And this is true, because they let people use it without informing them that they are putting carcinogens on their hands. This is true.
Wes, why are they allowed to sell something with a carcinogen on it? Because as you told me the other day, the skin is the biggest, your biggest organ, and the carcinogens go straight from the wipes into your skin and through your skin into your body, right?
Yes, yes, and yes. I can return the question how we are eating poison in every food we are being offered. Why our food is adulterated by genetic manipulation,
right,
by known carcinogens, why we are exposed to chemtrails from the sky. Why? And, you know, most of that why don't have answers. It is what it is. And we can get very upset about this and collapse in the anger, into unfairness, victim mentality, limiting our resources of dealing with that. Or we may say, well, certain things are as they are right now, and my personal responsibility is to do the best in my own environment. And this was my motivation of doing my best by refusing doing something which is crazy, because somebody said that if 3 million people are doing something which is crazy, it's not any less crazy.
That's true.
But what I'm bringing the example here is that I actually derailed my thoughtful initiative by reacting on the as a mirror image to craziness, to from craziness to craziness.
Right.
Because I called the management and I demanded that this will be changed, and they said, you know, it's not your job to tell us what to do. And then I asked them to cancel my membership and refund my money. And they said, no, the only circumstance we can refund your membership money is when you are dead.
And you don't need the money then.
So, you know, this is another craziness, which you react with craziness. So, you know, eventually what ends up is I still belong to that club until the expiration of my membership, and I carry this wipe, pretending that I am doing something, but also, again, exploring my contribution to it, which is essential to empower myself. I have to admit that, you know, I was watching these old people, some of them who actually do very little exercise. They're basically sit on the equipment and have social conversation, and they are watching each other, and they're watching people like me who break their rules.
That is so typical of what goes on in an HOA. That is so typical. They're there to exercise, and they're watching you and reporting you, right?
That's right. But then it brings my own fear that, you know, in a couple of years I'll be like them. And this is where I am reacting with my mirror images to something which is unreal, but becomes instrumental for me choosing reaction to the situation. And let me bring another example, which may be even more applicable now to HOA.
Okay.
You know, that American dream, which owning house is the essential part of it, right?
Right.
And it was obviously big deal for me immigrating to this country at the age of 30 in the middle of a successful career in other country. This was this attraction of American dream. And at this stage, after 37 years of being here, I am sharing sentiment of many immigrants and many Native Americans, I mean, born in America, that indeed American dream is just that, a dream. That many pillars of this dream of ethics, religions, spirituality, social justice, economy, politics are being taken away as we are speaking, right?
Yes. Yes, you're right. You're so right.
So there is that unconscious reaction in all of us of disappointment, disillusion, hurt, grief. Yes, grief. We are grieving something which we invested in emotionally, intellectually, and economically, which is no longer there. And this applies to everything, including medicine, for example, that medicine we were using, say, 10, 15 years ago, is no longer there. And the normal reaction, as Viktor Frankl said, it's normal to be disappointed, normal to be sad, normal to be scared, and normal to be disempowered and out of focus. And then we have this increasing discomfort, inner discomfort. And first, it's a very disempowering feeling because basically we can do very little or nothing about this. But, you know, something which is brewing in us has to find the outlet. Otherwise, it will kill us. So in that situation, we are biased towards finding the outlet. And another word, by pointing a finger. That somebody, some institutions have to be accountable for that, responsible for that. And, you know, maybe I am kind of stretching, but I believe that this should be considered when we are reacting to something unreasonable coming from HOA, because HOA for us is a representative of the system which disappointed us. What do you think about it?
Well, I think that, you know, you've talked about the American dream, and I think we talk about that a lot on this show, because you're absolutely right. Central to that dream is home ownership. And also, a lot of the a lot of people have pointed out that it's also home ownership is also a step towards wealth. It's the first rung on the ladder, because that's going to start establishing you on your path to building your own wealth. What we run into, I think, it's that a lot of the sticks, because when you buy property, it comes with a bundle of sticks. A lot of the sticks, the bundle of sticks that come traditionally have always come with that property, have been taken away slowly and surely. You can't make any decisions. There's an understanding that when you buy something, you own it, and when you own something, you have complete dominion over it. You decide what color it's going to be. You decide whether you're going to have roses in your front yard, whether you're going to have daisies. It doesn't matter. It's yours. You can do what you want with it. Now, all of a sudden, that option, that choice has been taken away from you. Now someone else is making that choice. But it's going a little beyond just what the front of the house looks like. It's going to the back of the house. It's going to the inside of the house. It's going to your behavior, not just what the house looks like, but your behavior and how you behave in your house. I mean, there's a story a long time ago of a grandmother who came home and was on a date and was fined because she had been seen kissing her date in the car. He dropped her off in front. I mean, this woman's a grandmother, and she was fined for lewd and lascivious behavior because she was seen kissing her date goodnight. It's got to the point where your dress, the way you dress, the way you walk, whether you wear flip-flops or shoes or sandals, somebody is taking that right away from you. And that is really terrifying. That is really terrifying. And, of course, speech, freedom of speech, the First Amendment, that's gone.
You see, I moved to this huge community. They call this the friendliest town in Florida. And you may imagine that it's very strictly regulated.
Oh, yeah.
And by choosing this property, buying property in this community, I made deal with myself that for the advantage of significant safety, for the advantage of significant orderly thing here, for the advantage of tremendous cooperation, helping each other, for that sake, there is also disadvantage of keeping my lawn exactly, you know, to the curb, even though I hate it, and I don't do it. But I know that I am breaking the kind of convention here. But in this case, the advantage overrides the disadvantage. So this is the money the money of disadvantage I'm going to pay for something which is more important for me. So if I would get into trouble with HOA here, my first question would be, is it deal breaker or not? Is it kind of anticipated or is it crazy? And this is what we were talking about, that if I choose, I understand that this is crazy, that somebody goes after me as a personal revenge, or they're acting out, as we talked in previous conversation, their childhood trauma, their inferiority complex, and they just act out on that in a crazy way, I cannot be crazy. Because, you know, when two people quarrel, the best way to stop the quarrel is that one starts to behave like adult, right?
One can hope, but the other person doesn't always start behaving like an adult. Sometimes they do.
But, you know, but it has to start with something. That's why I was talking about looking at my part,
yeah,
which I am bringing to the table, which has actually nothing to do with HOD. And without cleaning that, I would be buying in the craziness, reacting with my craziness, and the whole thing would be spiraling down. For example, in medicine, when we look at some scientific discovery, and we look scientific paper, we see that it is described something positive happened because, for example, somebody took a supplement, dietary supplement, which did plenty of good for somebody's heart. This is the message of the discovery. Yet, in order to verify this as a real, we have to look at, we call this confounding variables. In other words, another factors which could contribute to the improvement in heart. Besides taking supplement, that person started exercise, ate better, had better rest, did many other things which were part of the mind which look for taking supplement. In other words, if you are looking for supplement, you are already kind of smart in your mind not to just take supplement, but you are changing many other things in your life. So this is how we validate what was the real effect and what was the concomitant or parallel of confounding variable. The same, I believe, applies in the psychology of conflict, that I have to know what is the real deal and what is the craziness. What is their craziness and what is my craziness? For example, one of the scenario which we discussed on last conversation was that very gruesome situation when somebody was faced either paying immediately or being taken, the house was taken immediately.
Right.
That was this component of craziness which was called emergency. The emergency is another well-practiced and well-defined and very effective form of craziness when people trying to force you out of your balance into something which otherwise you wouldn't do. And let me bring example from medicine. Now you go to a doctor and doctor says you have stage 2 or stage 3 cancer and we already booked you for surgery on Monday, and in 2 weeks later you are going to start chemotherapy. This is it. And you may say, wait, and they say, no, wait. You are sitting on the time bomb. The cancer is spreading as we speak, right?
Right.
So just all you need to do is on your way out from my office, you stop at the front desk and schedule your surgery and sign the papers. Yes?
It's right? It's called fear, yeah.
And I would say, I don't have the good statistic, but say that majority of us will do exactly that.
Yes.
Stop at the front desk and sign the papers,
right? Right, absolutely.
And what about other scenario? What about scenario is when doctor says, I'm sorry you had stage 2 cancer, and this is what we know about this kind of cancer. This is how it behaves in most of the people. And these are the things we tend to do with this cancer. This is one way, the other way, still the other way. And also, doctor says, I heard about alternatives in alternative medicine, but I am not trained there, but it could be something to explore.
Right.
So I'm giving you all this information. Take it, explore whatever you think should be done. Certainly ask for a second opinion and come back in 2 weeks. Hopefully with kind of decision, and we will do whatever you choose, and I will support you in whatever decision you make, right?
Right.
That scenario is very rare. And realization of that this is rare, gives us or calls for our responsibility to create this scenario for ourselves, because the medicine institution will not create for us. This is the part which is missing in medicine or HOA as they go after us. That part is missing, and it is our responsibility to create this part for ourselves.
What I've noticed, Wes, over years of doing this is that it's fear. It's the fear of what the power that we're dealing with. It's the fear factor. And the fear factor, I think, is enormous when it comes to what goes on in HOAs, and certainly in the descriptions that you just gave us in terms of our medical histories. I mean, I know because I have a medical background as well, and I know what doctors say. You know, it's like, oh my God, you know, this is it. You don't. I'm the one who's trained. You do as I tell you. And people are afraid of asking questions. What I do is I just sit down and I say, okay, what alternatives are there? And I ask questions, and then I always ask the same question. If it were you, what would you do? If this were you and you were faced with these decisions, what decision would you make and why? A little table topic for you.
Well, that is kind of a beautiful scenario, but I believe what people would ask that question, but not the doctor. They will ask nurse like you. They will ask because then the answer would be honest.
Actually, I usually ask the doctor because they don't scare me. A lot of people are terrified of doctors. I'm not.
But it is not about being scared. It is about.
It is about being scared. It is about being scared. They don't want to talk. I mean, my husband's one of those. I go in and give my doctor a big hug, and we sit there and we laugh and we giggle, and then we get down to business. He says, how can you do that? I go, because my doctor is my friend, you know. But a lot of people don't. They just come in. They're very timid. They're scared. They just sit there and they leave. And they just nod their heads. Okay, okay, okay. But they won't stop you, and they won't say, all right, now what?
So beautiful that you are bringing this example, because you describe a beautiful scenario, which, as you admitted yourself, is not frequent.
No, it's not.
And the fact that people don't ask this question indeed is a fear, but also it's a realization that it's impossible to get the answer, because the medical system is not set up to heal you. It is to set up to generate income for the stakeholders.
Bingo, you just framed the HOA thing. It's not about your American dream. It's not about home ownership. It's not about being on the first rung to wealth. It is about making money for the shareholders. You're the stakeholder, but it's
sure. So
yeah,
mm-hmm.
But you're absolutely correct.
Then,
you're amazing.
But then the conclusion for me is actually freedom, because it is not about me. It is not personal.
Right.
It is not personal. They are not crooked. They are not intentionally vicious against me, Wes Rocky. They are just representing the system. Right?
They're representing their bottom dollar, that, you know, their right. bottom line. It's just gets down to that. And the other thing that happens is, unlike in medicine, where a doctor has been through years and years and years of training and studying and learning and is largely viewed, and quite rightly viewed, as an expert in their field because of all the time and effort they've put into it, in an HOA, there is none of that. So the people in charge have no background. They don't know what they're doing. So when it comes to a confrontation, they sort of go on the attack, become very defensive, because you're questioning their authority. You're questioning their authority, but you're not questioning their authority so much, but you're questioning their knowledge. And there's a huge difference right there. You've elected someone on the board. They have that authority. But what knowledge, what background, what education do they have? What do they bring to the table? What do they know about running a village, basically? Because in your case, where you are, it's huge. What is their experience? They don't have it. That's where it all falls apart in an HOA. That's the big difference between medicine and HOAs.
Actually, it's not different. It's very similar, because yeah. if you move now to alternative medicine, which is now commonly used,
yes.
you have exactly the same situation. Then you have a bunch of people who are not trained,
yes.
who have no
yes.
ethical and legal accountability for what they say.
Yes.
And they attract you by using proper language and offering amazing promises which are never supported because they are not equipped.
That's true.
And they are free to tell any garbage because they are untouchable. Since they are unlicensed, you cannot go after them. And there is even a very nice saying, don't confuse Dr. Google with a licensed doctor.
Yeah, that's true.
But you know, you mentioned the fear, and that is important, actually. This is actually focus on our conversation, which is to separate what is mine and separate what is there in the conflict. And the fear is universal, because the fear is on my part, the fear is on their part, right?
Mm-hmm.
Fear of being discovered or being stupid
right.
or incompetent, right?
Right.
And fear is in both of us as a social phenomena of current times. We are society saturated with fear, right?
Right.
So that fear is not really specific for HOA.
Oh, no.
It is a, right?
And you're
like,
right.
I don't know.
It's a tool. It's a tool that's used, especially used by HOAs, but it's a tool used by everyone. It's the fear factor, yeah?
Correct.
Yeah.
I don't remember whose president, Roosevelt, probably said the only thing, or only real thing to be afraid is fear itself.
Right. You know what, Wes?
So,
we're pretty much out of time for this time.
Okay.
But you know what? I think that the fear is something that we really need to expand on. Is that something
right.
you would be willing to come back and do again? Do another show and we'll talk about fear?
Yes, I would love to, because, you know, each time you give me opportunity, it's an opportunity to heal myself, and my healing myself may benefit one or two other people.
So, all right, so read up on fear, and we'll do that really soon, okay?
fantastic.
Thank you.
It was such a pleasure, sure.
Thank you so much for coming on, Wes. Really enjoyed having you. Miss having
you
around.
Yes, I'm missing you, and my best wishes for your listeners.
Thank you. Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to justice for HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.